Hi, this is Danny Whitaker with Devoted to Scripture. I'm reading through the Bible in a year and sharing my reading with you. This is day 81 of our journey. God raised up Jephthah as the next judge to deliver the Israelites. The Ammonite king gathered his army for war, claiming that Israel had stolen their ancestral lands. Jephthah tried a diplomatic approach to the conflict by presenting a very clear and accurate argument that completely discounted all of the king's claims. This argument did not appease the Ammonites, who attacked. But God faithfully delivered Jephthah and Israel again. Jephthah was more faithful in following God than some of his predecessors. But as he was fighting the Ammonites, he made a rash vow that resulted in Jephthah offering his daughter as a sacrifice to God. We don't know if this sacrifice was one involving a knife and fire, or simply giving her to the temple to serve the Lord. But either way, Jephthah fulfilled his vow and lost his daughter forever. After this great victory, Israel should have been rejoicing, but instead, the men of Ephraim came out against Jephthah for not including them in the battle. In the civil war that resulted from this conflict, 42,000 Ephraimites were killed. Finally, order was restored, and three more judges ruled, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. Join me in Judges 11 and 12 to see God's deliverance despite Israel's disunity. Judges 11. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a brave warrior. His mother was a prostitute, but Gilead was his father. Gilead's wife also gave him sons. When his wife's sons grew up, they made Jephthah leave and said to him, "You are not going to inherit any of our father's wealth, because you are another woman's son." So Jephthah left his half-brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Lawless men joined Jephthah's gang and traveled with him. It was some time after this when the Ammonites fought with Israel. When the Ammonites attacked, the leaders of Gilead asked Jephthah to come back from the land of Tob. They said, "Come, be our commander, so we can fight with the Ammonites." Jephthah said to the leaders of Gilead, "But you hated me and made me leave my father's house. Why do you come to me now, when you are in trouble?" The leaders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That may be true, but now we pledge to you our loyalty. Come with us and fight with the Ammonites. Then you will become the leader of all who live in Gilead." Jephthah said to the leaders of Gilead, "All right, if you take me back to fight with the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me, I will be your leader." The leaders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will judge any grievance you have against us if we do not do as you say." So Jephthah went with the leaders of Gilead. The people made him their leader and commander. Jephthah repeated the terms of the agreement before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers to the Ammonite king, saying, "Why have you come against me to attack my land?" The Ammonite king said to Jephthah's messengers, "Because Israel stole my land when they came up from Egypt, from the Arnon River in the south to the Jabbok River in the north, and as far west as the Jordan. Now return it peaceably." Jephthah sent messengers back to the Ammonite king and said to him, "This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not steal the land of Moab and the land of the Ammonites. When they left Egypt, Israel traveled through the desert as far as the Red Sea and then came to Kadesh. Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, 'Please allow us to pass through your land.' But the king of Edom rejected the request. Israel sent the same request to the king of Moab, but he was unwilling to cooperate, so Israel stayed at Kadesh. Then Israel went through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab. They traveled east of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon River. They did not go through Moabite territory. The Arnon was Moab's border. Israel sent messengers to King Sihon, the Amorite king who ruled in Heshbon, and said to him, 'Please allow us to pass through your land to our land.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. He assembled his whole army, camped in Jahaz, and fought with Israel. The Lord, God of Israel, handed Sihon and his whole army over to Israel, and they defeated them. Israel took all the land of the Amorites who lived in that land. They took all the Amorite territory from the Arnon River on the south to the Jabbok River on the north, from the desert in the east to the Jordan in the west. Since the Lord God of Israel has driven out the Amorites before his people Israel, do you think you can just take it from them? You have the right to take what Chemosh your God gives you. But we will take the land of all whom the Lord our God has driven out before us. Are you really better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he dare to quarrel with Israel? Did he dare to fight with them? Israel has been living in Heshbon and its nearby towns, in Aroer and its nearby towns, and in all the cities along the Arnon for 300 years. Why did you not reclaim them during that time? I have not done you wrong, but you are doing wrong by attacking me. May the Lord, the judge, judge this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites. But the Ammonite king disregarded the message sent by Jephthah. The Lord's spirit empowered Jephthah. He passed through Gilead and Manasseh and went to Mizpah in Gilead. From there he approached the Ammonites. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, saying, "If you really do hand the Ammonites over to me, then whoever is the first to come through the doors of my house to meet me when I return safely from fighting the Ammonites, he will belong to the Lord, and I will offer him up as a burnt sacrifice." Jephthah approached the Ammonites to fight with them, and the Lord handed them over to him. He defeated them from Aroer all the way to Minnith, 20 cities in all, even as far as Abel Karamim. He wiped them out. The Israelites humiliated the Ammonites. When Jephthah came home to Mizpah, there was his daughter hurrying out to meet him, dancing to the rhythm of tambourines. She was his only child. Except for her, he had no son or daughter. When he saw her, he ripped his clothes and said, "Oh no, my daughter, you have completely ruined me. You have brought me disaster. I made an oath to the Lord, and I cannot break it." She said to him, "My father, since you made an oath to the Lord, do to me as you promised. After all, the Lord vindicated you before your enemies, the Ammonites." She then said to her father, "Please grant me this one wish. For 2 months, allow me to walk through the hills with my friends and mourn my virginity." He said, "You may go." He permitted her to leave for 2 months. She went with her friends and mourned her virginity as she walked through the hills. After 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed. She died a virgin. Her tragic death gave rise to a custom in Israel. Every year, Israelite women commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, for 4 days. Judges 12. The Ephraimites assembled and crossed over to Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, "Why did you go and fight with the Ammonites without asking us to go with you? We will burn your house down right over you." Jephthah said to them, "My people and I were in a struggle, and the Ammonites were oppressing me greatly. I asked for your help, but you did not deliver me from their power. When I saw that you were not going to help, I risked my life and advanced against the Ammonites, and the Lord handed them over to me. Why have you come up to fight with me today?" Jephthah assembled all the men of Gilead, and they fought with Ephraim. The men of Gilead defeated Ephraim, because the Ephraimites insulted them, saying, "You Gileadites are refugees from Ephraim, living within Ephraim's and Manasseh's territory." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan River opposite Ephraim. Whenever an Ephraimite fugitive said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said, "No," then they said to him, "Say, Shibboleth." If he said, "Sibboleth," and could not pronounce the word correctly, they grabbed him and executed him right there at the fords of the Jordan. On that day, 42,000 Ephraimites fell dead. Jephthah led Israel for 6 years. Then he died and was buried in his city in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons. He arranged for 30 of his daughters to be married outside his extended family, and he arranged for 30 young women to be brought from outside as wives for his sons. Ibzan led Israel for 7 years. Then he died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel for 10 years. Then Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Thank you for joining me on our shared walk through Scripture today. Devotion to Scripture doesn't begin and end here. My prayer is that you will be encouraged to dig deeper and spend some additional time in God's Word today. If you're looking for a great place to start, check the episode description where you will always find a few key verses from the day's reading to reflect on further. I'd love to hear from you. How is God using this podcast to help you grow? How can I be praying for you? Email me at devotedtoscripture@gmail.com. It's amazing seeing a passage come alive as we understand its place in the whole story of the Bible. Knowing and ultimately being a part of that story is the most important undertaking of your life. Join me tomorrow to continue the journey. Be devoted to Scripture.